Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see each of you in worship. I can draw your attention to our church bulletin. There are several announcements listed there. I will not mention all of those, but we'll highlight a few of those. Also, take note of the pew pads located at the end of your pew. We invite members and guests alike to take those out, jot down your information, pass it down. Once it's been completed, we ask you to pass it back to the center aisle, and we'll collect those later on today. We just want to get a record of your attendance and say thank you for worshiping with us. I'm sure many of you have seen all the signs that Dinner and a Show is coming up very quickly. The tickets are leaving here very quickly as well. And so if you would like to attend Dinner and a Show, you need to purchase your ticket ASAP. Jeff would appreciate that, as all the other youth would as well. Tickets are limited, so you want to be sure to purchase those if you would like to attend. Also, we take note, we do have College Parkers this Thursday. It is covered dish. So whatever dish you bring will be our meal, and it'll be a great time of fellowship this Thursday at 11 o'clock. Also, take note of the North Carolina Baptist on Mission training coming up, which is in March. And then there's a chance you have, that we have as a church, to go and to serve April 17th to 20th. The other information is listed there in the bulletin, or you can see Miss Barbie Kale for more information. This Friday, we do have Grub Club. We're going to go down to the Kiwanis pancake supper downtown. You can ride the bus. I'll drop you off close to the front door and pick you up close to the front door so you won't have to find parking. It will be a great time of fellowship together. The information is listed there. You can sign up out front, or you can just show up and ride the bus as well. If you are a guest with us today, we want to extend a special welcome to you. Our ushers are going to return back down the aisle, and if you would just slide up your hand as they pass you by. They're going to give you a packet of information about our church. Inside there's a letter from our pastor. Also, there is a Church Highlights, which is our monthly newsletter, which will let you know about all the other ministries and activities going on in the life of our church. As always, it is a great day to be in God's house that we have to come together and to worship Him. So let us do that now. Would you join me in prayer? Dear God, we thank you. We thank you for another day we have to wake up, to live here on this earth in your presence, and to serve you, Father. But right now we're gathered for worship, to worship you, to sing praises to your name, Father, and we desire to hear from you this morning. So, Father, speak to us today through your word and through your songs. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Invite the kids to come on down, the ones that are brave enough. Yeah, there we go, Hampton. Good. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's just the fellas today. Just the fellas. I need all the fellas to stand up. Y'all stand up. All right. Some of y'all have been through primary basketball, right? There's a very special spread out, so you don't. If I said defense, what would you do? Dylan, can you? All right, good. All right, y'all come stand out here. Come stand out here and face everybody. This really encourages children to participate. All right, y'all come stand. Spread out. All right, are you ready? Look at them. They're very intimidating, I know. All right, when I say defense, ready? Defense. Does that intimidate y'all? Would you want to drive on these people? No. Good job. Everybody come back around here. Now, sometimes we don't always play defense like that. If you watched the State Duke game last night, we didn't always play defense like that. But we let people go by and get a dunk. And whatever they wanted to do. It's really important for you guys, if we're playing basketball, to listen to our coach. And how do we get in the right position? To walk the right way, to run the right way, to stand, to be ready, right? You have to listen to your coach, or you have to listen to your teacher. Somebody that you and I have to listen to do things right. Otherwise, we just kind of do things on our own. And they dunk over you. And they embarrass you on national TV. That happens. That happens all the time. Pastor Raymond this morning is going to talk about how you and I, we need to listen to God. Not to other people. We need to read the Bible to learn how to treat each other. To learn how to talk to one another. We just went on our own. We would do things that are not always nice. We have things that we want to say, and God teaches us how to be controlled and be in the right position all the time. So what I want you to do, your job is to listen to your coach. Your job is to listen to your teacher. Your job is to listen to Pastor Raymond. Your and my job is to read the Bible and to learn more about how he wants us to act, so that when we're out there walking and we're out there talking, that we do it in a way that honors him. Can you give me one more defense growl? Defense. Oh, they were standing up. Oh, that's good. Defense. Let's pray. God, thank you for today and the example that you give to us in Christ. May we always be listening to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back to your seats. Good job. Good job. Ministry of God's Word comes from two places in Scripture. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. And then Luke 6, verses 17 through 26. You will find these. If you do not have a Bible, there's a Bible there in the pew in front of you. These are on page 548 and page 729, respectively. We'll be reading out of the New International Version. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to whatever their deeds deserve. And then going to Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets."
God sent his only Son to the world.
Will you pray with me? Father, this morning we bow before you. For some days, this world is just too much. With our struggles and our questions and our doubts and our fears. And Father, we need to be reminded of your love that drives out fear and darkness and hopelessness. Today we celebrate. We make a stand and we say, no matter what this world has for us, that we will stand for you. We will listen to your word. We will believe in your truth. We will trust in the sacrifice of Christ. We will rely on the Holy Spirit and his presence in our lives. And we know that you, the creator of all, is working through your people and through your creation to make all things right. And so we have hope. Teach us to trust in you. Forgive us when we have failed. Forgive us of our sin. Draw us close to you. Speak a word to our souls so that we may face this world with courage and with your truth, we pray in Jesus' name.
In our time of a prayer of dedication, I think that dedication requires a spirit of thankfulness. And it occurs to me this morning that as we gather here publicly for worship, that many people around the world cannot worship in public. Some have to worship by themselves because that's the only option they have. Others are worshiping in prisons and in basements and in other places because worship is important to them, even though they don't have this opportunity to come together in a room like this underneath a cross that looks like this, which I think is a beautiful symbol of our opportunity to worship together in public and a representation of who we are. And when we gather for worship, we need leadership. And I'm thankful for those behind me and our pastor and Matt and Jeff and others that lead us in worship. Raymond, I'm thankful for you as our spiritual leader, a man that leads not only with words, but action and example. And I'm thankful for you. Let us dedicate ourselves today in prayer and worship. Dear Lord, thank you for the reminder this morning that we are yours, that you created us and that you love us. Lord, we can't even think about dedicating our time and resources and talents to you until we've realized that we are yours and that you love us and that we need to dedicate ourselves first and foremost. Lord, help us to remember who we are. Help us to remember the challenge every day to live closer to you. Lord, I'm reminded today that every day we have decisions to make, some small, some large. Help us to make those decisions for you, not for ourselves, but to dedicate every decision and every day to you. Because you love us, you want us to grow closer to you, and you want us to serve in your name so that others may see the bright light of Jesus Christ through us. Lord, help us to keep this cross in mind, not just when we're gathered in this sanctuary for worship, but in the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening when we live our lives and deal with what's in front of us, that this cross is who we're about, and it represents the way we are. Lord, please help us to dedicate ourselves and then to dedicate our time and talents and treasures to you. Please be with us this day. Please accept these gifts in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning to you. Thank you, Choir. I understand that we're going to have another beautiful week of rain. And I'm pretty stoked about it. We need the rain. Haven't had any in probably 12 hours or so. But Friday night, as Sandra and I settled in to wait for the rain to come, we were watching Family Feud. And it's a good show. It's pretty funny. And we were watching Family Feud, and one of the questions was this. 100 people surveyed, and the top 6 answers are on the board. Fill in the blank. The key to blank. The key to blank. What do you think? Now, if you're 9 o'clock, don't cheat. What do you think the answers were? Come on, choir. Success, life, happiness, heart. Yeah. What? Key to the city? Key to the home? Yeah, a lot of those answers were up there, but you know, we hit it up here. The number one answer, guess what it was? Happiness. The key to happiness. That was the number one answer. Related, a 47-year-old Austrian man named Karl Rabiter gave away his entire $4.7 million fortune. He came to the realization that his wealth and lavish spending were keeping him from real life and happiness. He told the Daily Telegraph that he had the feeling that he was working as a slave for things that he did not wish for, nor did he need. And he said this, quote, "It was the biggest shock in my life when I realized how horrible, soulless, and without feeling the 5-star lifestyle is." His money is now funding several charities to help people in Latin America. From Austria to Latin America. Interesting. A lot of people think that if they just had more money, they would have the key to happiness. Our buddy Carl would tell us that money doesn't bring happiness, and we know that, right? Don't we know that? I mean, we know in and of itself it does not bring happiness, right? Pardon? How would you? Robert says, "How would he know?" You know, you know, and we know that, but yet we also know, you know, in our stewardship emphasis the last couple of years that we talked about the fact that no man can serve God and mammon, right? God and mammon, you can't serve God and money. But we also know that, you know, you need money for your everyday life, right? I mean, your creditors appreciate it when you pay them, you know? It's an interesting phenomenon because with so much in our culture now revolving around money and capitalism and all of that, you see all the time about the advertisements for the lottery. And if you look at the surveys in regard to those who've won the lottery, a lot of them will tell you they're worse off now than before they won the lottery, financially speaking. And then last night on the news, we heard that, remember that several months ago, that $1.6 billion, you remember that payout? And that there was a winning ticket sold, and they know the convenience store where it was sold. They're telling us now, nobody's claimed it. Nobody's claimed it. The poor guy, you know, he's thinking, I need something to put this gum in, you know? And he's like, what did I do? I think I threw that away. I don't know what happened, but it has not been claimed. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if it will be. Happiness. Surely he'll claim it, she will claim it, if they want to be happy. Maybe not. Let's read from Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. I don't think I have a page number. Is it printed? Psalm chapter 1. Go to the middle of the Bible. There you go. Put your thumbs in there. You don't learn that from Bible drill, right? Put your thumbs in the middle. Psalms. 383, if you're looking up in the Pew Bible. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. It seems that everybody is looking for happiness, and some people think they will find it in the right job. They may think they'll find it in finding the right life companion. Some are so desperate for happiness that they resort to retail therapy. You know what that is? Shopping. Yeah. Yeah. New car, new house, new clothes, whatever it is you think makes you happy. You know, all of those things. But what happens when the newness of those purchases, or the newness of a relationship, or what happens when the newness wears off? We have a tendency to go back to the same source to try to find happiness again. So it leads to this vicious cycle. And you know what a cycle is? It's a flat spiral. Yeah. It's a flat spiral. Happy, happy, happy. Everybody wants to be happy. Watch the commercials. Well, I come bearing really good news today. Last week we talked about the gospel being good news. I bring you good news today. You can find happiness if you haven't already. In fact, you can find something that's even better than happiness. You can be blessed. The very first word of Psalm 1:1, blessed. Blessed is the man, blessed is the person who does not, etc., etc. Blessed. Now, sometimes blessed is translated happy. Let me give you an example. My Bible is the 1984 NIV, okay? The 1984 translates that blessed is the man, and I believe that is the better translation, okay? Now, the new NIV, which is the new NIV, you know, it translates it happy. And I understand why, because they wanted to bring a more contemporary term. But in doing that, I think they lost the heart of that, because happy is a superficial emotion based on circumstances. Blessed is something deeper. It is an inner satisfaction that does not depend on outward circumstances for happiness, quote unquote. So when we walk with God, Scripture tells us that we can find, quote, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy, being blessed, those go much deeper than just happiness. You know, in this first psalm, God tells us how we can be blessed. I would like to walk through this passage, and I'll warn you ahead of time, I only got one verse in 9 o'clock, okay? I only got one verse. So to keep things lined up, we'll go one verse. Psalm 1:1 is what we're going to deal with. And consider the thought, how to be blessed. The psalmist tells us in this first verse, those who do not follow the advice of the wicked will be blessed. Those who refuse to stand with sinners will be blessed. Those who will not join with mockers or scorners will be blessed. And those who delight in the law of God and meditate upon it will be blessed. That's actually verse 2, I think. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I would prefer to be blessed over happiness any day. Fortunately, God's word tells us how this is possible. So as we consider how to be blessed, let's look then at lessons on life. Lessons on life. What does it look like to be blessed? Well, we'll go with verse 1. Verse 1. In order to be blessed, we must be in the right places. Be in the right places. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. In this verse, we are told pretty clearly how to walk. where to stand, and where to sit. There's also a contrast that's presented in the psalm. We're given some insight into the danger facing ungodly people. If you do not do these three things correctly, what dangers do you face? So in order to experience the blessing of God, there are some people and some places that we must avoid. So let's look at verse 1 part by part. In the very first part of verse 1, learn that we must walk in the right places. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So in order then to walk in the right places, we need to avoid the advice of the ungodly. Now, think about it for a minute. There are people that you know, there are people that you love, there are people that you trust. They may be fine people. You may have known them for a long time, perhaps even your whole life. And many times they are ready and available to offer free advice, right? Ready and available. Now, although their intentions may be good, their advice may or may not be godly, may or may not be in accordance with the will of God for your life. So where then, if we can't lean on those friends, where do we go for counsel on life? Well, let me suggest that we can look at the writings of people like Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Paul, and of course, if you have one of those Bibles that has the red letters in the last half, the words of Jesus is recorded in the Gospels, the good news. You know, so if you're having problems, let me suggest that you look at God's Word. Look at God's Word for answers. Now, there's an implication in that, that if you're relying on God's Word for answers, it implies that you've what? Read God's Word, right? That you've read God's Word. That you know it's in there. And you say, well, I can always look it up. Yes, you can. How much more rich, though, to have it as a part of you so that when trouble hits you, you don't have to look it up. You know what God's Word says. You know what the counsel of the godly for you is. How much more rich if you know God's Word? So if you're having problems, if you're looking for answers for that, let me suggest, don't look to the wisdom of this world. There's a lot of philosophies and psychologies and everything else in there. Look to God instead. Look to God's Word. And to a degree, the people of God. You understand what I'm saying? To a degree, the people of God. Let me explain. Anytime godly counsel does not line up with God's Word, it's not godly counsel. So how do you test that? Well, again, you got to know God's Word. You need to know what God's Word says. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy, and I think he warns us through the centuries. You know, he warned Timothy, he says, you know, there are going to be guys out there that tickle the ears of the people. Tickle the ears. What that means is there are preachers, there are teachers that will be telling people what they think the people want to hear. As opposed to preaching from God's Word, they preach what the people want to hear. You've seen, you've heard, no doubt, some of this. You know, prosperity theology and all the other stuff. I have my definite opinions. I'm not going to name names. If you'd like to see me afterwards, I'll be glad to name names, but I'm not going to do it now. But there are some people that I think are just tickling the ears of the masses for whatever their motivation may be, and I hate to speculate on the motivation of a person, but, you know, by the fruit, you'll know. By the fruit that's born, you'll know what the motivation is a lot of times. So, you know, if there is a qualified advice of God's people, because I think you need to test and try. That's the reason you've heard me say over and over again, if you disagree with something I've said in the sermon, please come talk with me about it. And if you can bring biblical support for it, even better. Because I always want to be true to God's word. Because otherwise I'm wasting your time and mine too. Test and see. Because there's a lot of popular ear tickling going on these days. Not only do we need to walk in the counsel of the wise or walk in the counsel of the godly, therefore not walking in the counsel of the wicked. Not only do we want to do that, but we also want to stand in the right places. Look at the second part of verse 1. Blessed is the man who stands in the way, who does not stand in the way of sinners, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand in the way of sinners. What is he talking about? What does it mean to not stand in the way of sinners? The New Living Translation translates this part of the verse. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not stand around with sinners." Then it goes on to say, "or join in with mockers." The joys of those who do not stand around with sinners. Now, there are some people, understand, who profess to be saved, but they still go where they used to go. They proclaim that they've been born again, but they still do what they used to do before they knew Christ. There are countless people who claim that they've been transformed by the power of God, but yet they have no desire to be here when we worship together. They have no desire to hang out with any of us. And that's just hurtful. Because we're a good group of people, right? Yeah. But there are some who have no desire to fellowship with God's people. There are people who fail to praise God's name, even though they say they're a believer. There are people who are not serving God faithfully at all. They never study His Word. They never even read His Word. And they neglect to call on God's name. But yet they call themselves believers. Paul said this in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 6, he's quoting from 2 Samuel, I believe. And it says this, he writes this. And the context is he's talking about not being yoked with unbelievers, but it's certainly pertinent to our conversation. He quotes, he says, "Therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, what's Paul saying? Paul's saying we should be separate. But hear this. Remember last week we were talking about the gospel being the good news, how we should tell people the good news, not beat them over the head with a, you know, a reference Bible or something? You know, we should be telling them good news. Well, how can we tell people good news if we have no association with unbelievers? We're constantly preaching to the choir. Don't take offense. That's a good... Yeah. How are we to completely to separate ourselves, to isolate ourselves from the lost people? No. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. To be separate in a biblical sense is that you do not have the ways of. You do not have the ways of those who are not believers. How can you possibly tell someone the good news if you don't know anybody that's not a believer? The phrase "in, not of," does that mean anything to you? In, not of. We're in this world, but not to be of this world. If we are not supposed to be serving God, if we're not supposed to be sharing the good news of Jesus, then why are we still here? You know, the best deal is the minute we receive Christ, whew, we're going to heaven before we have a chance to backslide, right? Yeah, I mean, that would be the best deal, but that's not what God desires from us. He says, no, you've been saved to serve. And what that means is we're here to show God's love to other people. We're here to be the hands and feet of Christ. We're here to serve Him, so that people will want to know what makes us different. But if we are not different, why would they want to know what makes us different? And if we're different but not in a good way, they sure don't want to know. We're here to be vessels, channels, if you will, channels of God's love flowing through us, we are not capable of loving people as they need to be loved by ourselves. It is because God first loved us that we are able to love. Amen? That's what it's about. That's why we're still here. We're here to show people God's love and tell them the good news. And the good news is that they can have a personal relationship with God so that they have blessing and happiness, fulfillment and joy now and for all of eternity. That's good news. That is good news. But you have to have someone to tell it to. And if you're only fellowshipping with believers, your field is very small. Field is very small. So Paul would say, get out there, tell the good news of Jesus. Tell the good news. You see, we must walk in the right places and avoid the wrong ones. We must stand in the right places and avoid the wrong ones. And thirdly, the psalmist says that we must sit in the right places. The last part of verse 1 says, we should not, in effect, sit in the seat of mockers or scoffers. Another translation says scorners. So you got this mocker, scoffer, scorners, depending what translation. What does that mean? What does that mean? Think about it for just a minute. But before we get to that, consider the progression that the psalmist has taken us through. We're talking about the first he's walking, right? First he's walking, then he stops, he stands, and then he sits. That's a downward progression. You've heard me say before, how much easier is it to pull someone down than it is to pick them up? And that's the mindset. That is what was kind of, I'm sure, part of the motivation for talking about the progression downward of what it's like if we're not following the godly counsel, if we're not in the right places, if we're not living the kind of life that we need to live. And he says, don't sit in the seat of mockers or scoffers or scorners. You know, we see the ungodly. We see them. We know where they are. We know who they are. We know the sinners. We know that we're all sinners, by the way. and we know those who are scornful. The ungodly man has his counsel. The sinner has his way, and the mocker, the scorner, has his seat. So then let's get back to it. What is this mocker, this scorner, this scoffer? What is it? Let me tell you, great definition. Great definition I read this week. British theologian Adam Clark. The Brits have a way with words. Here's what he said. The scorner has brought, in reference to himself, all religion and moral feeling to an end. He has sat down, is utterly confirmed in impiety, and makes a mock at sin. His conscience is seared, and he is a believer in all unbelief. There's a definition for you. Probably way more information than you wanted on what a scoffer or a scorner is. Hear it again. The scorner has brought, in reference to himself, all religion and moral feeling to an end. He has sat down, is utterly confirmed in impiety, and makes a mock of sin. His conscience is seared, and he is a believer in all unbelief. What a sad place to be. What a sad place. For those who are convinced that there's no room for God in their life. There's no room for godly people in their life. Who scoff and mock and scorn all things having to do with their Creator. The God who created them out of love. And desired fellowship and desires fellowship from them, and yet they mock and scorn. In contrast to those really sad people, and understand people, when we witness to those kind of people, we need to understand they don't need to be condemned. They need to be loved. When you hear someone mock Jesus, When you hear someone say something, when you hear someone use the Lord's name in vain, what goes through your mind? Does it make you angry? Does it disappoint you? What emotions do you feel? I'll be honest with you. I was younger and knew everything. Those people that would do that, well, I was ready to tie them down and save them, man. But I've come to the conclusion that the way I should respond to those people is just to love them. I'm hurt for them. I feel sorry for them. I hurt for them. Because they're missing out not only of the joy that they could have today, but they'll miss it for all of eternity if they don't turn. And so out of that emotion, out of that deep desire of hurt for them, then the deliverance of the good news comes from a place of genuine love rather than from a vengeful, defensive posture. They're sad people. Learn their story. Build a relationship with them. You know, the Billy Graham Crusade, they used to offer these statistics on relationships. And at one point, I think it was right before they did the crusade in Charlotte, they released the latest statistics. And at that point, their statistics said that 87% of all people who came to know Christ or were led to Christ by someone they had known more than 18 months. So what does that tell us? Build the relationship. The relationship based on love and concern for people. Care for them. Don't be defensive. Love them. Encourage them. Show them God's love. Show them the difference. And maybe their scorn will be turned to praise. Maybe their mockery will be turned to praise. In contrast to the description of the mockers, we can enjoy the blessings that God places every day before us. The psalmist tells us when we're in the right places, that'll happen. Next week, we'll pick up with verse 2, see how far we get. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son. Thank you for the fact that you give us blessings every day. And blessed are we if we look to you for guidance, for counsel, for the places we're supposed to be, the way we're supposed to address people, how we're supposed to be the hands and feet of Christ. God, guide us, teach us, instruct us, correct us, discipline us when necessary, so that others will see Christ in us, not us. God, as we do so, we pray that we would give you all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. If you're here and you say, I'm not a believer, I'm not yet a believer, I would love to talk with you this morning. I'll be here in just a minute as we sing a song and be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but I just really haven't been walking the walk maybe that I should be, you can settle that right where you are. What are we singing? Trust and obey. And then we're ready. Trust and obey. All you got to do is sing the lyrics and mean them. So sing the lyrics and mean them, and what a great rededication of who you are in Christ. New creation. Live like it. Settle that before you leave here this morning. If you'd like to talk with me, I'd be glad to talk with you as well. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this church, as I said before, we're pretty good people. This is a good fellowship of believers. We invite you. There's many ways that we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your decision, I invite you to make that as you stand and sing with us.
Oh,
Following our benediction and the choral response, I invite you to greet one another. If you see a guest, someone you don't know, take a moment to stop and greet them. Introduce yourself. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go from this place, we pray that we would go in your name, Father, that we would go in your way, and Father, that you would use us in a way that we can't even imagine at this point. Father, we pray that as we interact with people, that we would see them with your eyes, that we would bless them with your words, and that we would love them with your heart. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.